You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary of the Woods on Chicago's Northwest Side here on Relevant Radio 950. Time is 9:05 in Chicago. And our phone number, we'll get our phone number a little later, wherever that sheet happens to be. It's somewhere, Brian. Co-host this morning, we have with us, back by popular demand, Nicholas Lund Mulfasi, the director of the Office of Peace and Justice for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Welcome, Nick, back to Catholic Community of Faith.
Glad to be on the phone with you, Father.
Yeah, the thing is now, our listeners need to know that when I started about 24 years ago this week at Niles College Seminary of Loyola University on the faculty, which is now today St. Joseph Seminary of Loyola University, Nick, you were a freshman around 1987?
Yeah, you always test my memory on this. And
well, you graduated college what year?
We were just talking about this a minute ago, about it would be 91. So
you did begin in September of 1987.
Yeah, so you would have recruited me.
And you came from
I don't think the church
Quigley.
Has ever quite forgiven Father for recruiting me into the Archdiocese.
You were a young
system.
18-year-old college seminarian.
You had
in
a full
1987.
Head of hair.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a long time ago.
Now so. I've got wavy hair. It's
yeah,
waving goodbye.
Those are the days. Yep. So it's a brief break there to reminisce. So
the thing is, it's incredible how quickly summer vacation came and went.
Absolutely.
I mean, summer we have another 3.5-4 weeks, or about 3 weeks, but our children came back to school last Tuesday morning. I think most or all of the Catholic schools in the Archdiocese, grammar school, high school, have started this week or last week, and our prayers with all the children and the teachers and the parents for a great year. We have a tremendous program lined up here on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. We have with us in studio Jo Ellen Karstens, a member of the Focolare movement for over 40 years. Mm-hmm. Jo Ellen, that can't be possible. You look about 40.
No.
And also member of St. Ambrose Parish on the Chicago's South Side. Welcome, Jo Ellen.
Thank you.
Also with us in studio, Professor Peter Cassarella, professor of Catholic Studies at DePaul University and a member of the lay movement Communion and Liberation. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning.
Welcome to the program. We have with us two tremendous guests via the radio, Professor David Schindler, Dean of the John Paul II Institute in Washington, D.C. Good morning, David.
Good morning to you all.
And welcome to the program. And Father Robert Sirico, President of Acton Institute. Good morning, Father Robert.
Good to be with you. Thank you so much, Father.
Great to have all of you. Now, as a way to kind of begin the program, I've mentioned ministries you're part of or own or in charge of, and I just want to make sure for our listeners they know your background. So, Jo Ellen, many people know the Focolare movement, some do not. What is the Focolare movement?
The Focolare is a Catholic lay ecclesial movement that began in the Second World War in Italy. Focolare means hearth or fireplace. And the basis of the Focolare is a spirituality of communion, of living the gospel in our daily life, bringing unity wherever we are. It's lived by hundreds and millions of people of all different vocations, different ages, all over the world. So it's a powerful force in the church today to bring about this a new influx of life in the church.
And Professor Peter Cassarella, we talk, you know, to know that you're a professor of Catholic Studies at DePaul University, but what is the lay movement entitled Communion and Liberation all about?
Communion.
Personally, I've never heard of it.
Oh, well, it's about time. Communion and Liberation is, in all seriousness, the movement in the church founded by Monsignor Luigi Gessani. It was something that started in the 50s through his commitment to high school and university students as a communion of friendship. Now includes lay members and even priests all around the world. And since we're going to be talking about social development today, I should also mention the fact that in the last year, there was a dedication ceremony in the Cathedral of Sao Paulo, where 5,000, through the efforts of Marco Serbini, 5,000 of the landless workers of Sao Paulo committed themselves to communion liberation, also to their own ongoing project of social development in that city.
How many members of communion and liberation here in Chicago? Any idea?
Oh, there's hundreds.
Hundreds, okay. Yeah. All right, and for Professor David Schindler, Dean of the John Paul II Institute in Washington, D.C., briefly tell us about the Institute.
The Institute is a pontifical institute founded by John Paul II for the study of the human person, focused, centered in the sort of basic human community, the basic cell of human community, marriage and family. It was founded just a year or two after his becoming pope.
So this is going back over
25
years.
And the Washington session, we have sessions mm-hmm. around the world, they're called sessions, but the main institute is affiliated with the Lateran University in Rome.
Okay.
And then there are what I guess we would use the term campuses around the world, but it's graduate theology focused on the study of the person.
Okay, and Father Robert Sirico, president of the Acton Institute, tell us briefly about Acton Institute.
Well, the Institute was founded about 20 years ago, and our basic core mission is to promote a free and virtuous society. We believe that limited government is a good way to achieve this, but that a free economy, while it's necessary, is not sufficient to create a good society. And so we educate religious leaders of various denominations. It's an ecumenical institute, although I'm a Catholic priest, and a lot of our principles are basic natural law principles that we operate out of.
Okay.
And I just want to say, you know, I'm delighted to be on this show with Focolarina and Comunione e Liberazione. I've spoken at the meeting in Rimini, and of course, Dr. Schindler and the great work of the John Paul II Institute for the Study of the Family is, it's just a great group of people you have here.
Well, I just want to say that Nick has done a fabulous job of getting an all-star lineup. And our topic today, and we will be taking phone calls, is the Pope Benedict's encyclical, his latest, Caritas in Veritate, Charity in Truth. And Nick has been waiting to ask the first question among our all-star lineup.
Well, it was a great opening by a true radio professional, my co-host. But yeah, I'm kind of eager to get in the meat of this. Now, our listening audience has probably heard a lot of things. There's this new papal encyclical. You've seen media quotes about different sections of it. And, you know, call in and ask us. I think we got the number now. It's 312-255-8408. Again, 312-255-8408. And call in and ask us about what you've heard. But we've got guests. Some of those people may be writing about it. I'm not sure they've all read it, given what they've said. So we have guests who have, and we're fortunate they're going to share their insights with us. And so perhaps, Professor Schindler, we could start with, if you could just give us a highlight from the encyclical. Could you give us one thing that our listening audience shouldn't miss in the encyclical, an idea or a passage?
I would say, first of all, that the encyclical needs to be read with the church in a theological context and not most basically, you know, coming to it with predilections regarding politics or economics, but put it in an ecclesial context. And so the point is the understanding of the human being in the social dimension of the human being, and there I would say the highlight, I think, is the emphasis on the unity of human activity. That is, as Christians and as human beings, our lives have to be unified. There's not one kind of logic that we follow when we're in political life and another logic that we follow when we're in economic life, and another logic that we follow in our private lives, but there has to be a unity, and the unity is generosity. Many terms can be used, but love that the Pope emphasizes so strongly right at the outset, caritas in veritate, not fluffy love, but a charity in truth, and love is truth, and truth is love. I mean, that's sort of the core. Obviously, there's much more to say, but I'm sure the others have things to say.
Maybe along those same lines, Father Robert Sirico, what would be the one point that stands out so much for you in charity and truth that you'd want our listeners to not miss?
Well, it would not be just one passage for the reasons that Dr. Schindler has already pointed out. I think if there's one word that could act as a kind of a hermeneutic, if you will, an interpretive feature, a way to read this, is to look for integration or integral. That word appears over and over again. And I just want to say in advance that it is a complex document, and I think you need to take your time with it and walk through it slowly and not just skim it like you would a newspaper article. But I think this whole notion that the complexity of the human person, both in his physical needs, which bring to bear questions of institution and organization and economics and social policy, and his ultimate transcendent vocation to be in union with God for eternity, this is what complexifies it. And in approaching the social question, which is what this document is obviously doing, we have to take into account the totality of the human person and all the things that go with it. So that would be the one thing that I would point to. And it's, I think, a temptation on the part of a lot of people to kind of approach a document like this and say, okay, where does this line up with? And there were some really, frankly, vulgar initial articles. Where does this line up with the Democratic Party platform or the Republican Party platform? Who's in and who's out? And this is just not the point of departure.
It's really missing the point to go along those lines. We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Nick Lund Mulfasi here on Relevant Radio 950. Our phone number, 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. We'll continue our discussion. Please stay with us and do not touch that dial.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
As we celebrate the Year for Priests, look for stories about how we honor our priests, in the Pope's words, with gratitude for their work and witness of their life.
Visit our website at www.catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Better than ever, subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
When was the last time you spoke with your neighbors? How are they holding up in these current hard economic times? People in your neighborhood, even the person living right next door, might be struggling. It could be a few late mortgage payments, a food shortage, or even problems with substance abuse or domestic violence. At Catholic Charities, your neighbors are in our care. We work to feed, clothe, counsel, and shelter anyone in need. Consider donating to our Neighbors in Need Fund. Visit us at CatholicCharities.net or call 312-655-7525.
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. time is coming up on 9:19 on this Friday morning, rather cool here in Chicago. It's been rather cool and rainy summer, Nick. And but hey, no complaints, because I don't like it when it's 95 and high humidity. You know, it's not my, not my cup of tea. And we have with us
you're like you're set to retire to Florida, Brian, Father. But
Brian Hitman said he likes that type of weather. Brian, you're a hockey player. How do you like it hot and high humidity? Well, so do I. So we have tremendous guest, really an all-star lineup. We have with us Joe Ellen Karstens, Professor Peter Casarella, Professor David Schindler, and Father Robert Sirico. We're talking about Pope Benedict's newest encyclical, Caritas in Veritate, Charity in Truth.
So, same question to our in-studio guests. Joe Ellen, you're closest to me here. Could you maybe give us a highlight, something you want to point out for us to pay attention to?
I think the obviously the whole encyclical is very, very valuable, but what resonated most with me, I think, was chapter 3, that's fraternity, economic development, and civil society, because the Pope there emphasizes that the heart of the Church's social doctrine is charity and a relation. I mean, to build fraternity, fraternity indicates relationships, and that relationships are so important to build, that man is made to be a gift to others, and others are made to be a gift to us. So the relationships that we need to build in the economic world are essential to for today's world. Normally, business is based on money, profit, and so on. No one speaks about love in the same context as business. Instead, the Pope is telling us that this is where we need to put our charity, our love, and that charity and truth is a force that builds community, this fraternal community that transcends every barrier. So this really resonated with me. It excited me, and I felt that this is what we need to do as Christians, as Catholics in the Church.
Joel, a word that you use that really touched my heart is that word gift. And I remember when I was a high school senior at Notre Dame, I don't know who said it, but someone had this comment and really touched my life. It said, he said, our being here on earth is God's gift to us. What we do with our life is our gift back to God.
Yes, yes.
And that really, as a high school senior, that was a transformative moment in my life. Our being here on earth is God's gift to us. What we do with our life is our gift back to God.
And how can we give a gift back to God except through others?
Exactly.
Through our brothers
that
and sisters.
That whole sense of that, the relational. Peter, what's the golden nugget that you come away with from Charity and Truth?
I think that there's a lot that can be missed, even in a sympathetic reading. But what I would highlight, concurring with the other discussants, is the last two words of the title, In Veritate, in the truth. The Holy Father says that charity is liberated by dwelling in the truth. So charity is freed from an emotionalism that ignores this relational content that we were just discussing. And charity is freed from a fideism, a narrow-minded, kind of irrational faith that deprives charity of its human and universal breathing space. That's a very profound thought. Authentic charity is not an isolated good deed. Authentic charity is never sentimental. It's not fluffy, as Dr. Schindler said. It's always liberating us to take a stance and to have a vision of, born out of faith, of reality as a whole.
Well, that's those are tight and profound takes that you've helped point out. I appreciate that, Peter. I was just considering the words. There's a passage in the encyclical Economy of Communion. So it's one of the phrases that's been picked up or picked out of the encyclical. And that's usually associated or has been associated with the Focolare movement. Maybe, Joellen, could you tell us a little bit about this phrase, Economy of Communion?
Yes, yes. I have to say we were really amazed when we heard that the Pope had put that into his encyclical, because this is a project that began in 1991 in Brazil by the founder of the Focolare, Chiara Lubich, who was distressed by the difference, the big gap between the very poor and the very rich. And she said, even though we as Christians try to share our goods on an individual level, we can't reach the needs of all of these poor. So what if we had businesses that would share their profits with the poor, help the poor to raise their level of their standard of living? And she proposed this, and about 10 businesses in Brazil took it up immediately. But then as soon as it was heard throughout the world, it grew and grew. So today there are 754 businesses, some with as many as 100 employees, who are participating in this economy of communion. It's based on communion, exactly, the word communion meaning relationship. So these businesses, if I may go ahead and
please
explain it, yes, they base the everything on the relationship with others, on the love for others. So first of all, in their own company, between the employees and management, to be sure there's an atmosphere of love, understanding, respect, the employees are treated justly, and then with clients, that clients are not, so to speak, ripped off or treated badly, or that they are also treated with respect, with love, that there's a relationship with the client. And even with competitors, they've found that, you know, by building a relationship with competitors, sometimes both gain from the experience. But then the important thing about the economy of communion is that this the profits of these companies are divided into three parts. And this was a genius idea of Chiara Lubick that is reflected in other places too, but here particularly she's these companies put one part of their profits back into the business so that the business can grow and produce more profits. A second part of the profit is used to increase the idea of we need to give to others, to promote a culture of giving. So this part of the profit is used to have formation courses, have in-services, have workshops, provide internships for young people so they can learn how to live in an economy of communion. So this part is to promote a culture of giving, to change the mentality around us, to change the mentality of other businessmen and women, to say that they can live their businesses, they can base their businesses, as the Pope says, it's possible to live in this day and age, to base your business on an idea of communion, on love. And then the third one, sorry it's taking a while, but the third part is directly for the poor. So these people would give their profits to help people find jobs, to provide seed money for other small businesses so people could start their own business, or provide them perhaps, like, say, a piece of machinery that they're missing so they can't go ahead with their business. They provide them with that, and then these people are self-sufficient and are even able to help later to share their profits with others, or to actually build homes for people. Without a home, it's difficult to, or education, pay for children's education so that they can. So the third part of the profit goes directly to help the poor, either in your own local environment or worldwide.
Now, along those lines, Professor David Schindler, I can see somebody driving their car right now and listening to Joellen and all of you and saying, listen, it's a nice encyclical, Charity and Truth. I have bills to pay. I may lose my job. Things aren't going well. You talked to me about this fluffy stuff that the Pope is talking about. So how do you translate Charity and Truth? But for people, I'm a pastor, so I deal with people losing jobs, losing their homes, marriage is not going well, children are in trouble. And the thing is, so I think, don't get me wrong, what the Pope wrote is phenomenal, challenging, and we need to hear it. But how do you respond when you deal with the day-to-day people in their lives?
The first thing I would say, that was very beautiful, Joellen said.
It was a great summary.
And that initiative, these kinds of things, it seems to me, are extremely important, as was the initiative mentioned by Peter Casarella. But the point, the main thing I would say in response to your question is to really to see with Pope Benedict, and as he would be the first to emphasize and see, that this is not a matter of unrealism. It's realistic, and it is something that takes account of these concrete circumstances. There's no minimizing of the seriousness of these very concrete problems, and I think it's so important to stay focused on that. The point is, from inside those, to try to live the one's humanity and to live the gospel of generosity as fully as possible, and things like profit, I mean, and you have to make a living and so on. All of these things are integral, but the deepest realism of the human being, what the human being wants most profoundly, at the core of that is to be loved and to love, and most fundamentally by God, and to love God. And I think it's not, that doesn't set aside the other things, it simply deepens them. And so these very concrete realities have to be engaged. And the final point that I would make there is really that I think we have to quit thinking, as we do so often in this culture, of immediately grand strategies. Or, you know, there's the beautiful ideas, now how can we reconstruct from ab ovo, you know, a brand new political system or economic system? That's never been the view of Benedict. It's that here and now we have very concrete economic relations, we have a family, we're dealing with people on a day-to-day basis, and we begin at the heart of that to live love as a way of being very concretely and transform one's own life and the lives of the people that one is here and now already engaged with.
And Father Robert Sirico, the same question, dealing with people in their daily lives, how does this encyclical deal with people's life day in and day out?
Well, you know, first it has to be absorbed. And I think what's important is to understand that no one encyclical is the whole of the Church's social teaching. In fact, Benedict says this in this encyclical, that this needs to be, in effect, read against the backdrop of the whole of the Church's social teaching. But I think this interior formation is very critical. There's a danger in the human heart to kind of abstract things out. I think it was Chesterton who once said that heresy is truth gone mad, so that we focus on
the pills. I
like
that. Heresy is truth gone mad. I like that.
Isn't that lovely?
That's a great line.
I hope he said that. If not, I'll claim it.
Sounds right.
So we focus on the bills, and it's very easy for the bills to become the entirety of our concern. Now we have a responsibility, obviously, for family. Or some people go to the opposite extreme. I'm not going to work. I'm going to stay in front of the Blessed Sacrament all day. You know, and that's not productive unless it's a particular vocation that a person has. So I think experiments and attempts to discern this in the way that the Focolari have done with these various groups, these businesses, I think to also remember that the world economy depends on a massive amount of productivity, and that village industries, cottage industries, are not sufficient to support 6 billion people on the planet. So we have to have an idea of how this can be transformative for the economy as a whole, internationally, even globally. I'm thinking of somebody like the Michelin company. François Michelin has written a book called And Why Not, which is a meditation as one of the world's greatest entrepreneurs on the role of spirituality in his own decision-making, and a very similar kinds of values to what we've just heard from the Focolare movement.
We need to go to a break, but before the break, Peter, your response to that same question, when, you know, as a professor, and young people say, but, you know, professor, how does this deal with my life?
Well, two quick answers. One is people can, driving in the car, young people can make a commitment, a practical commitment. The ecclesial movements, which are very vital here in Chicago, are examples of that. I mean, after the show, people can call up Joelle and ask about the examples of the economy of communion that are thriving in the Midwest and find out more about that. That's easy to do. And secondly, with respect to the encyclical, I mean, I wanted to mention two things that the Pope says. First, that development is always both personal and social. That's a very interesting idea. And secondly, that development is a vocation that derives from the transcendent and that is unable on its own terms of supplying its ultimate meaning. That's a very different way of looking at our Christian task.
And maybe on that note, we'll go to a break here. We're running a bit late here. Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Nicola Mulfacy. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
You're invited to attend an evangelization workshop, Learning to Labor in the Vineyard, sponsored by Bishop Joseph Perry's office and the Office for Black Catholics on Saturday, September 19th at St. Rita High School at 7740 Southwestern Avenue. This promises to be a wonderful workshop for everyone who serves in church ministries, for all who want to share the good news. The facilitator is Deacon Alex Jones of the Archdiocese of Detroit. The day-long evangelization experience is free. You can register through your church community or contact the Office for Black Catholics at 312-534-8376. We hope to see you Saturday, September 19th at St. Rita High School. Call 312-534-8376 and become part of Learning to Labor in the Vineyard.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz. Time is coming up on 9:37 on this Friday morning here in Chicago. Brian, I love that music. In fact, Jim, we should have Joyce on twice every program and kick off with this music.
Just for the music?
Just for the music.
In
fact, I'd like the listeners to crank up their radio and rip off their knob with that music. Welcome to Joyce DeRiga, the Catholic New World editor. Good morning, Joyce.
Morning, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing? I'd love to intro you with that music. It feels like a rock show.
I know, that's great.
So, what is coming up in the newest edition of the Catholic New World, Joyce?
On this one, we've got this fun story about, there was a national study that was released earlier in August from the Hyde Park-based National Religious Vocations Conference that talked about how people are still joining religious orders, but the younger people are looking, tend to go more toward what are considered traditional orders, centered around community and habits and things like that. So we took that story and we localized it, because we have a couple people here in the Archdiocese of Chicago that fit that bill. There's a couple young women that are going to join the Little Sisters of the Poor, and they've been working with the ones here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. And it dovetails into this new Franciscan community that's starting over at Our Lady of the Angels Mission in Humboldt Park, with the permission of Cardinal George. And it's going to be more of a community-centered, Eucharist-based, habits, liturgy of the hours, that kind of thing. So it's fun and it's exciting to see kind of new growth in the Archdiocese.
What's interesting is you're really taking something that's maybe very broad and localizing it here in Chicago, so people realize it can happen in our own community.
Yes.
That is, what else is coming up in the Catholic New World, and the latest edition comes out next week?
The Cardinal's talking about healthcare, so it's always good to check that out. And we've got a story. We interviewed a gentleman who wrote a book about the Four Horsemen of Notre Dame, which all of the domers out there would like to read. And it's about the men who actually were the Four Horsemen and how they got to Notre Dame and Newt Rockne's things with media relations and how he really promoted the team, and that helped turn Notre Dame football from just a game to, you know, an event to be experienced and things like that.
Who was the author of that book? Do you know offhand?
I'm sorry?
Who was the author of that book?
Jim Lefevre.
And so he's writing on literally the Four Horsemen, that famous photo that really brought Notre Dame into the spotlight regarding not only the university but football.
Yes.
Wow.
And he talks in there about the anti-Catholicism at the time, so, and why the team was in part such an icon for Catholics in the United States at the time. And it's called Loyal Sons, the story of the Four Horsemen and Notre Dame's football's 1924 champions.
That is,
and I learned a lot, because I'm not a Notre Dame grad, I'm a Penn State grad, so.
Yeah, I'm a graduate of Notre Dame, so on the graduate level, but, you know, Notre Dame football, wow, don't get me started.
Yeah.
It'd be a good year. Anything else coming up, Joyce?
We've got some stuff about the bereavement ministries and things in here, and also next issues are about our faith and education issue kicking off from back to school, so that'll go to all the school families in a go home with the kids too. And as always, you can see all the stories online at catholicnewworld.com, and you can subscribe there, or you can give me a call.
And the number?
312-534-7577.
The number once again?
312-534-7577.
And Joyce DiRiga, the editor of the Catholic New World, paper of the Archdiocese of Chicago, thank you for joining us. You'll be back again in a couple of weeks. And Brian, hockey hit man, hit that song.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Joyce. God bless you. And welcome back to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. Time is exactly 9:41 here in Chicago on this Friday. We're going to go to the telephone. John, all the way from Indianapolis, you were listening to us on the Internet. I think this sets a record for a local call, long distance. Welcome, John, to Catholic Community of Faith.
Thank you very much.
And your question or comment for our all-star lineup this morning?
Well, my comment is I am one of the 750 business owners that participate in this Economy of Communion network of companies that was formed within the Focolare movement, and I was listening to the Internet and saw you were covering this, and there was a question that was raised about, well, why would people be interested in this during economic hard times? Why is this particular encyclical relevant? And I would say our experience from business owner standpoint is that the Economy of Communion really has shown us what this idea of what God's providence is when you decide to share something of the resources of your firm with the poor. It reminds me of that line of the gospel from Luke: "Give, and gifts will be given to you. A good measure, packed down, or packed together, shaken down, and overflowing." Because believe it or not, we have experienced that many times over in our business life over the last 14 years, and it's been a result of these relationships we've developed, where even during tough times, people may choose to use our businesses because of what we are doing. And the relationships we've developed in hard times, they've really been like bank accounts that we've been over the years putting our resources into, our love, our time. And that, during tough times, it's almost like a place where we can withdraw some of that and actually receive God's providence from that. And it's been a real blessing and an experience for us as business owners, this idea of sharing and receiving. And I would say this for people who are, who have difficult time economically now, if they're really open up to share their needs with those around them, this idea of communion of goods, it's both spiritual and material goods, they may experience God's providence because there may be people willing to share what they have with them. So this encyclical is very relevant to us business owners in the Economy of Communion, because we've experienced this providence of God during these difficult times.
John, thanks so much for that call and the comment, because that is sometimes what people say is, well, what does this practically mean, or what does it say for how we should live or relate to others, or, hey, this is all very nice, but how does it work? And as one of our guests said earlier, that true love for others is not sentimentality. It would never settle for that. And then another example we touched on as a practical response to the needs of others is something our in-studio guest, Professor Casarella, mentioned about the land movement or landless movement in Brazil. And I was wondering if he could say a little bit more about that for us.
Yes, I'd be happy to. I went to Sao Paulo this summer also with the idea of figuring out how we could help educate undergraduates at DePaul about this very interesting phenomenon. I discovered two things in talking to Marco Zerbini, the head of this landless workers movement of Sao Paulo. About 17% of the university students in Sao Paulo, which is a city bigger than Chicago, have participated in some form in these so-called schools of community where they share their experiences of Christ. Most are Catholic, but about a third are evangelical. And it's a very beautiful witness to their faith and to their concrete commitment in daily lives. And secondly, through Marcos and his wife Clute, they have bought, developed, and shared property in an urban setting, large swaths of property in the urban setting of Sao Paulo for their own community as a form of witness to making concrete this friendship that they have.
The thing is, what we're going to do is go back to the phones. First of all, John from Indianapolis on the internet, thank you for that great call and comment. And back the radio here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. Mark, welcome to the program this morning.
Well, thank you very much, and good morning to you all. I'm so thankful I was listening to the program this morning. I'm an entrepreneur here in the Chicagoland area, and applying the principles of a triple bottom line social enterprise, and I wanted to understand a little bit better, what are the differences between this new Focolare movement and the principles of triple bottom line from John Elkington and organizations like Net Impact and the Social Enterprise Alliance?
I'd have to say that I'm not too familiar with the triple bottom line, but this project began because of a spiritual need to really help the poor, to reach out to the poor. So it was like a spontaneous decision to divide the profits in these three ways. However, Mark, I'd be delighted to speak to you later and put you in touch with other entrepreneurs so that you can discuss it with them. That would possibly, the phone number is 773-285-2746.
How about that number once again?
773-285-2746.
Need to ask, Mark, I'm also unfamiliar with the movement you just talked about. Now, Professor Schindler or Father Sirico, are you familiar with what Mark is talking about?
No.
Well, I've read a little bit about it, and basically what it wants to do is bring in the stakeholders as opposed to just shareholders into it, and then the bottom line, and I don't know if he's still online, but I think the three bottom lines is, of course, the sustainability of the business, and then a certain amount of sharing the profits. It's kind of cooperative. There are various cooperative efforts, too, and I'm slipping on the...
Mark, are you on the line still? Oh, Mark is off the line. Okay, I think that's fascinating. But thank you for that comment, Robert. Mark, thank you very much, and maybe be in contact with Joanne later on today. But it was a wonderful phone call, and thank you for listening. We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Nick Lund-Mulfasi, the co-host. Our number, 312-255-8408. Call in with a question or comment. We'll be back right after a break.
You are invited to join Cardinal Francis George and other interfaith guests on Tuesday, September 1st for the 2009 Interfaith Iftar Dinner. Iftar, an Arabic word meaning breaking of the fast, is done every evening during Ramadan, the Muslim month of fasting from sunrise to sunset. This year's program takes place from 7 to 9 p.m. on September 1st at the Mosque Foundation in Bridgeview, and includes the breaking of the day-long fast, observance of Muslim sunset prayer, dinner, and a program. There is no charge, but seating is limited. Your RSVP is required to the Office for Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs at 312-534-5325. That number again is 312-534-5325. We hope to see you there.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Masses are once again being celebrated at Holy Name Cathedral. We'll talk to Holy Name's pastor about the renovation that took place there following last February's fire. There promises to be something for everyone at this fall's Festival of Faith. We'll have a preview. And we'll talk with Cardinal George about Pope Benedict's encyclical, Charity in Truth.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. About 950 on Friday morning. How's that? 950 Relevant Radio, 950 on this cool day, very cool October-like weather for the weekend. Our phone number, 312-255-8408.
David on the line there in D.C., how's your arm holding out?
Pardon me?
How's your arm holding out there? We've had
it's fine. Thank
holding
you.
It for almost, just checking. I wanted to know, I thought maybe you could offer a gloss or a comment on some of the questions or either of the two practical enterprises you've heard about, and anything that in the encyclical itself you heard echoed or could relate the encyclical to either of the two enterprises again or the two questioners.
You know, one thing, if I may, I mean, this is a little bit of a different emphasis, but in answer to the question, and as a sort of implicit element there that I think is a very important one in the encyclical, and I think it's for the social teaching of the Church, and that is when we think about these various activities and engage them, it seems to me it's very important to also within this to see the emphasis that the Pope makes on the relation between the personal and the social. And that means, you know, typically what was thought to be personal ethics and social ethics, but I'm thinking of the family and relations of the family and how they're enriched by putting it in a broader context, but how the broader context of these, you know, economic initiatives are enriched by a deepening of the family. And what I mean by that is, you know, that to learn that our basic relationships with people, even in the economy, are the most important relationships in our lives are not chosen. And that's a very important point. I mean, the relation to God, the relation being born into a family, and even in the radical sense that's emphasized in the encyclical, that we're a human family. And that isn't just a metaphor. There are no purely contractual relationships with anybody. That's an extremely radical and important point. We have a common fatherhood in God, and therefore there is a genuine sense in which a fellow man, a fellow woman is essentially related to us. It's a relation that's given to us before it's a relation that we contract. And I think, again, that's a statement of principle, but I think it's simply injecting what I think is an important principle into these initiatives, and I think it's already implied in the initiatives.
That's a sort of an attitude approach we would have to relate to others, a virtue disposition to action, I guess, towards others, is that this other person is a person I have a relationship with more than the role or structure.
Exactly.
Or the title. That's that if we adopted that attitude in us, in the way we truly treated others, what a difference we'd make to the lives of those around us and our own. That's,
but, you know, Nick, beautiful. But Nick, along those lines from what David is mentioning, more and more, and I'd like to have Peter jump in and Joellen and Robert, is you read more and more about we are living in a society today, people have become very individualistic. That sense of community seems to be waning, the need to have be surrounded by others. So you find not only church attendance down, but even a simple thing like bowling leagues are going down. That sense of community, of being with other, we're just so driven toward individualism, what can I do, and thinking to be like I am a rock type mentality. So based on David's comments, how do you respond when the culture around us, to a degree, talks about rugged individualism? Any of our guests?
Well, can I've been talking a lot, but just let me add one quick point there, and that is, connected with that, is in the family you learn that relationships are not first utilitarian, and you learn the dignity of the weak and the vulnerable and the sick. That, to me, if you don't learn that in the family, I don't know that you will learn it, and that's essential to all of these initiatives. I mean, that's a bedrock concern for all of these initiatives, so the weakest and the most vulnerable.
Now, Father Strico, I wanted to get you in because I have read some of your things. I mean, sort of on this, the point that my co-host is making, and comments you might have?
Yes, well, I want to go back to what I said at the beginning, and that is a matter of balance. On the one hand, you can have a hyper-individualism, which is really exemplified in the sociopath. On the other hand, you can have such a communal sense that you lose your individual identity, and that's kind of the communist. What I think this encyclical, as all of the church encyclicals, moves toward is a kind of integration. So that on the one hand, we recognize the need for community. We don't come from ourselves. We didn't create ourselves. Pope Benedict says this in the encyclical. So we recognize an interdependence. On the other hand, not so much to the point where our creativity, where our initiative, where our willingness to stand out heroically at times against the crowd is in some way mitigated or diminished. So it really is a balancing act. We have to recognize that utility is important. We want to do things that are useful, but we don't want to lapse into the era of utilitarianism where everything is evaluated on the basis of its utility. If you did that, you wouldn't be able to raise a child.
Joellen?
I think the Pope mentions in some part of the encyclical of the joy that comes from this mutual exchange, from reciprocity. And I think if people who are so used to living as individuals and keeping their own life together would realize that if they love others all day long, doing an act of love for others, the love eventually returns, and they experience the joy of this reciprocity, of living in communion with others around them.
Peter?
The opposite of bowling alone is not groupthink or losing your individuality. I think the great gift of this encyclical for us in practical terms is to take very seriously that development is simultaneously personal and a personal and a social vocation. And if we take that as our cue, we can begin to overcome this crisis of privativism that we see around us.
We need to bring the program to a close. Peter, give us a phone number that people can learn more about the lay movement, communion and liberation.
Sure. They can happily get in contact with me at the Paul. My number is 773-325-4183.
Then number once again.
773-325-4183.
And Joellen, if someone learned learn more about Focolare Movement, a number.
773-285-2746.
Again, that number once again.
773-285-2746 or also focolare.org.
focalari.org. We need to bring the program to a close. I want to thank in a very special way all our guests. Joellen Karstens, a member of the Focalari movement for over 40 years, Professor Peter Casarella, professor of Catholic Studies at DePaul University and a member of the lay movement, Communion and Liberation, Professor David Schindler, Dean of the John Paul II Institute in Washington, D.C., and Father Robert Sirico, president of the Acton Institute. I want to thank all of you for today's program. Tremendous insights, helping our listeners learn more about Pope Benedict's newest encyclical,
Charity and Truth.
And want to also thank, I don't know what that was all about, Brian. Thank you also.
I think your head spun around, too, at that moment, so I was a little concerned, Father.
Nicholas Lund Mulfacy, the director of the Office of Peace and Justice for the Archdiocese. Nick, excellent job for organizing the program with our theme, and thank you also to our who produced it along with producer Jim Dish and engineer Brian Hockey Hitman Brock. To all our listeners, God bless and have a wonderful weekend.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.